Welcome to a brand new episode of the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio. For this bonus special episode, I will be interviewing one of my favorite people, best friends, biggest inspirations, and biggest supporters, Jeremy Watkins. And then he's going to interview me. Let me tell y'all a little bit about Jeremy first. Jeremy Watkins is the author of the Chasing Romance book series and the Garden Experience and Closer Devotionals. He is a creative writer, speaker, and visionary inspired to help others encounter the fullness of their human experience through a transformational lifestyle. J.A. envisions a love father's heart to see each other as he sees us. Through self-reflecting creative content, Watkins challenges Christianity to explore the foundations of spiritual identity, intimacy, and fulfillment. He believes shifting the focus from fear to love starts and sustains the journey to transformation. His new book, Home, The Garden Awaits, is out on Amazon now, and I have the honor of writing the foreword for this tremendous book. He is also the co-creator and co-host of our brand new show, Matters of the Heart, premiering Friday, June 12th at 6 p.m. Pacific time on Grindhard Radio, where we'll talk about love, friendship, family, and more from a grace perspective. It has been such a joy to experience all the healing, grace, and abundance Jeremy is walking in. One of my most powerful testimonies for sure. I got to give him this special introduction.
Yes.
Hey, Jeremy. How are you?
Man, I feel like I just came out to the Super Bowl. Man, come on. That was it. Thank you for that.
Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? I couldn't just have you as a special guest. You needed your own episode.
Yo, you brought me out. Like, you literally brought me out. I felt like we was on Kings of Comedy when be announcing them. I was like, when I brings you out, I brings you out. You brought me out. I appreciate you so much, man. I'm excited.
Yes, so people have already been getting used to you through Grindhard Radio with you being a part of our recent third annual Abundant Joy Conference. You're one of our keynote speakers for that. And then also you've been a part of my two hymn series where you're actually going to be sharing some amazing content for that series as well as having created all the graphics for it.
Oh, man, super excited. I know that this next one, I can't wait for you to receive this next one, man. I'm telling you right now, it is. This is going to be fun. So I just want to say thank you for the partnership, man. From day one, Sade has been my biggest inspiration from this past year of really introducing a grace for, inspirational lifestyle to me. And it has exploded every single area of my life. And man, I'm so thankful. And I couldn't imagine going onto this journey that God has called me on without my bestie, without my closest friend. And I'm excited to do this, man. Let's jump into it. Let's go, Sade. I'm so excited. I'm ready.
So I'm going to need you to get out of my head, like I always tell you, because literally the first question I was going to ask you is to tell us about your journey to grace and how it has transformed your relationship with God, yourself, others, and every area of your life.
And grace has changed everything. It was the missing ingredient to my belief system to God. I always was rooted in love. I was always about love, but where I was failing in that area is I was making myself the God of love. I was overextending. I was exhausting myself to love others without having enough capacity to even love myself and even God at times. And I realized that I was actually becoming God to others instead of actually releasing God to others. And once grace came in, it just clicked everything together. And it was like I saw God as a whole person for the first time ever. And it hasn't been the same since. And it has truly transformed the way that I love God, the way that I see God, the way that he sees me, and also the way that he sees that way that I see myself and the way that I see others. So it just changed every single thing about who Jeremy is. And I feel like for the first time in my life, I can 180% be who Jeremy has created to be without being anyone else. And it's been the most freeing experience ever.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. So,
I love
Jeremy, what is one of your, if you've learned about God and God's grace since this last year?
Honestly, the simple fact that I am living from resurrection right now in this very moment. I am living from an eternal space right now in this very moment. And that eternal space is not diminished. It's not disconnected. It's not reduced. It doesn't rely on my supply, my obedience, that God is constantly in every breath. And before a breath even begins to flow out of my body to be released, he is 100% God to me in every moment. And I don't have to call him to me because he is already living inside of me. And grace is like, that has been the thing that I've been the most celebrating and enjoying, is that even when I fall short, even if sin shows up, even if my heart fails, it's like I am more living in the reality of all of God being inside of me in that moment than I am of what's happening outside of me. And it sustains me even in the moments where things should break you and pain show up. It's like pain doesn't stay as long as it used to, or it doesn't cause breakage anymore. It's like it hurts, but it doesn't break me. You know, there's no more shattering. There's no more fragility. And so I'm being kept held whole in God's hand as I live in him and he lives in me. And no matter what's happening to me, the greatest reality that I'm experiencing in all times through grace is me and God being one together and him sustaining me. And I think that's been the biggest celebration of this new transformation in my life.
Yes, that's so good. You know what I mean? It's like, I think to myself, I remember telling Greg and our church family about this, Gospel Revolution Church, about this some time ago, but I was like, you know, it almost feels like now, it's like even when you're experiencing hurt and pain, you simultaneously are feeling God healing you at the same time. So it's like, the thing is not as bad as it used to be.
Yeah, absolutely. It's you know, it's mind-boggling to actually think that I am never away from God, right? Sade, like, I think that that's one of the biggest things that we've all been taught, is that, like, when we stray away, there's this coming back. There's this distance and this space that we have pre-diagnosed. And God's like, well, if I'm in you, and you're me, how far could you have gone?
Right? Yeah.
And so now we have this thing where we're realizing that actually the proximity of God and our proximity to him is so much more closer than even the sin that tries to get in between. And I think that has been the most beautiful experience ever, is something that you incited into my life as well, is self-esteem. And looking at myself and treating myself and seeing myself and loving myself the same way that Daddy loves and treats and says about me, no matter what happens, no matter what I do. I could fall short a million times, but the way that I see myself and the way that I speak to myself is the same way that God speaks to me in every moment. And he is always taking care of me. He is always loving me. He is always healing me. He is always restoring me. And when you sit in that daily, it's like I am more being filled by eternal places and eternal reality than I am of the temporary things that are trying to take hold. And I find those things fading faster than the pain that may have been caused. And so I just love it. I'm just so enthralled by this incredible experience. So that's what I've been experiencing.
Yes. Which leads into my next question. What is one of the things you enjoy most about yourself now that maybe before you didn't care for or you thought was a flaw about you?
Oh, man, I would probably say, just being, like, in freedom. I think that, like the beautiful thing about grace is I now get to celebrate weakness. I get to boast about it. You know, before it's like we would hide weakness. We would mask it. We would make sure that there was anything happening in our heart that would cause disconnection or that would make us be afraid that we would lose someone if we actually told them what we really are and the condition of our heart. Now that's not anymore. Now it's the actual empowerment that I get to tell someone what's going on in my heart, that I get to tell them where I'm at. I get to tell them what I don't have peace with. I can tell them, like, this is where the boundary is. I can tell them that I don't want to do that. And I can say no and still be rooted in love. I can say I need rest and know that people can be okay without me. And now I can no longer have this desperation, with this need to be needed, to the point to where it's like, I actually love when other people get the opportunity to step in and love others where I have put into place and living from the place of rest. And I think that's been the new thing that I now enjoy about me, is I get to live in freedom towards others, freedom towards myself, And even what's most beautiful, Sade, is I get to let God be free and Him being God to me. I'm no longer controlling Him. I'm no longer forcing Him to perform for me in order for Him to prove His love for me. I'm no longer asking Him the same question about how worthy I am to Him and how much He loves me when His answer is the same yesterday and today and forever, because His character is going to remain in that. And now it's like, God's like, now I can finally, you can finally receive how much I love being God to you in every capacity without you having to question or control me, because you can't understand how depth this love is that I have for you. And I think that's been the thing that I've really been enjoying the most, that I feel like I was afraid of unmasking before. Now there's no more mask. Everything just stays in the light.
That's so good. Oh my goodness. And to our listeners, what's so powerful is that for you to know that this is a life that is available for you. It is not just for a few. It is not just, oh, for this special person, but it is available for every single person. It's the life that God has always designed for each and every one of us. And I think what was so cool is one of the things you're talking about, Jeremy, is the fact that it's an all the time thing that you can always experience. It's no, like, you know, like we find ourselves and we pray for people, if we're mentoring them, encouraging them, they can experience a great moment and they think that that's just a moment with God. But it's like, no, God didn't come for you to just have a moment. Like, God wants to reside in you for forever and ever, where your little body is a temple of the Holy Spirit and where you can experience God's love and presence and friendship and love, everything that God is. You can experience that all day and all night long, never to feel that distance or delay again, which is such a lie. You know, it's something that religion and the world teaches, that, you know, distance and delay. And we, people have made so much money in such huge ministries and huge businesses out of that. And it's like, no, that the life of Jesus is present. It's now, it's forever and always. And so I think that's so powerful that you're sharing that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Received it all from our experience last year, man. And it's only going deeper and it's only going wider.
For sure. So one of the many things that we can relate to each other on is you've talked about before, like growing up and not feeling quote unquote black enough and feeling like an outcast culturally. And we always say how we wish all the black people who were called Oreos, whitewashed, et cetera, could have been friends growing up, so we could have known that we were not alone. Now, as you know, it's super cool to be black and eclectic, you know, intelligent, alternative, and articulate. You know, there's a lot more representation and progression now. So tell us about your experience growing up, and how has God helped you to reconcile that part of you and help you to feel comfortable and confident in your own skin?
Yeah, definitely. I remember all the stories we were exchanging, and I was like, man, Sade, you've been the girl version of me growing up. Like, if we had each other to be friends, I was like, please, let's stick together. And I feel like growing up, it was I was an outcast to my own ethnic community, because literally I just valued school more than my other friends did. You know, I loved school. I love being present in school. I wasn't out smoking and drinking and trying to sleep with every girl at the time. And there was this peer pressure that was put there as though I wasn't, you know, condoned by or approved by, you know, the African-American community, because I didn't have a disparity in my character, which is the saddest thing to even think about. Right. And because I spoke, you know, normal English, where I didn't speak a lot of slang, you know, I was considered like an Uncle Tom, or I was automatically assumed that I only dated white women because I spoke well. And and there was, and even like, because I didn't dress like everyone else, like, you know, I wore the casual clothes, but like, you know, I didn't look like everybody else. I wasn't trying to be the most fashionable person in the school. And, you know, you get made fun of, and you get put in kind of this isolated box where, because you're not striving like everyone else, you know, you don't belong. And where God really began to transform that space in me of trying to find approval, He's like, Jeremy, when I made you, He goes, I didn't make you a black kid first. He goes, I made you my son. And when I began to live from the primary and first layer of identity of who Jeremy is, and the most important identity of who I am, is being a son to the living God. And so I began to derive all of my identity from Him and His kingdom. And I realized that in His kingdom, my approval is nothing to do with my exterior or anything on my external environment. It had nothing to do with with behaviors that matched what the world did. In fact, it was quite the opposite. And once I learned what it looked like to be loved by God unconditionally as a son, that I never had to worry about fitting in anymore. I never had to worry about if I look like everyone else. I never had to worry about that. I had to change the language that I talk in order to reduce myself to be accepted by others who were reducing themselves. And that's truly when the transformation came for me, Sade, is when I was like, I don't have to walk in the room and defend my blackness, because all of me is already defended by my sonship and my father. And that's really when the game really changed for me.
That's so powerful, because we know so many people in this world struggle with their identity and finding a place where they can fit in and finding a community where they can fit in. And not to say that it's not great to have people in our lives who share similar interests as us and, you know, similar culture and racial background. But like you said, our number one and most important identity is being a child of God. And then everything else flows from that place, you know, because, and like we said, now in society, it's so cool to be different and to be black and to do all these things. But it's like growing up, it's like, you know, it's like the total opposite. And you're just like, man, well, where do I fit in? You know, and so we just want to encourage any of our listeners, whether if you are black or African-American or of another culture or background, and you've, you know, struggled growing up with your identity and feeling like you can fit in, you know, as Jeremy is saying, like the most important place where you fit is inside the heart of God. You know, and you'll always be so approved from God, and you can live from that place and not trying to cut away at who you are in order to please other people. And like Jeremy said, they're not even pleased with themselves, you know, and so that's huge. Yeah, that's good.
Well,
all right. So for my my final question before we switch it over and you interview me is please share with us one of your recent favorite testimonies.
Man, my most recent testimony, oh, man, I would probably say, man, oh, my gosh, there's so many to count. I would probably say my most recent testimony is it was a young lady that I prayed for last year that I met. We were just friends, and we were just, you know, just cool getting to know each other. And she had told me that she had herpes, and she just began to break down, and I was like, can I just pray for you? And I was like, you don't have to cry, it's okay. And I was like, let me pray for you. And I just prayed for God to heal her. And about probably like I'd probably say like a few months ago this year, she sends me a message. She says, Jeremy, you're not going to believe what just happened. This is right after she found out her father died. She messages me. She said, I went to, and they ran my blood. They did a blood test, and they said that I no longer have the herpes disease in my bloodstream or in my body. And,
oh, wow. Thank you, Jesus.
And in that moment, I just thought about how many times when we try to console someone or be present with someone, how many times we have missed out on opportunities where we have relied on our presence to comfort people instead of God's presence in us to comfort people. What could he do in the moment? And it really shifted my perspective, Sade. I'm like, God, is it better for me to be here with him? Or is it better for me to let you be more here with him? And I can just release you into the presence of you being here. And not only will you comfort her, but God, you'll actually cleanse her and heal her. And now whenever I'm invited into those moments with people, I'm not just saying I'm here for you. I'm saying God's here too. And inviting him into that space and allowing him to be the God of it. And it's been really transformational and really shifted my perspective of really showing up for people when they feel disqualified.
And a lot of what you're saying sounds like what so many of us have struggled with and may still struggle with is Messiah complex.
Absolutely. Wow.
It's like we want to, we don't trust God, and we don't trust God because we don't know God, and you can't trust someone that you don't know, and you can't believe someone that you don't know. And so we think that we know God. We usually know like a lot of erroneous things about God, but we don't oftentimes really know who God is. So we find it hard to trust God and to believe God, not just believe in God, because we know it's easier for people to believe in God. You can just look at nature and see certain things in this world and say, okay, there has to be, you know, a creator, but to actually believe who God is, you know. And so it's like, because we don't oftentimes trust God or believe God, we find ourselves saying, well, you know what, I need to step in and take care of this because I don't know who's going to care for my life and who's going to care for people. And so I need to be the God of this. I need to show up. I need to feel needed. I want to handle these things. And so I think that's been, seems like it's been a key thing in your testimony and what's been happening in your life is God helping to heal you and deliver you from Messiah complex and savior syndrome.
Yeah. Wow. So good. Wow. You know, what's so interesting about that, Sade, is like how much have we really saved anyone? Cause here's the thing. If I save you, then that means that I'll have to continually save you over and over again, because myself alone, I am not powerful enough to save you one time and everything just stay in salvation. I don't have that kind of strength or ability. And I think what's so interesting is we have people continually returning back to us as their saviors, realizing that, hey, whatever it is that I'm trying to be the God of for them, I'm not able to supply nor sustain anything. In fact, I'm actually running out quite dry and I can't even sustain myself. And, and so it's just amazing that, you know, when we come out of that perspective and really have clarity, how much we realize that it was never our seat to sit in. In fact, we have a far more favorable and delightful seat where we get to watch our daddy and our king be able to do all the saving, because we are the first fruit of him actually doing it with us. And that's the fun part, you know, is getting to watch God do it instead of us trying to wear his shoes to do it. It's so much more enjoyable.
I 100% agree. And it's such a blessing, because it's like, if we weren't created to save ourselves, that's such a gift, because now we don't have to sustain everything. Like you said, it's like God will sustain what God builds. And so it's on God. It's not on us.
Yeah. So good. Wow. Wow. That's a great question.
So now it's your turn.
Yeah, let's go. My turn.
We're going to switch. We're going to switch positions here, and you're going to be the host and interview me.
Okay, let's do it. All right, so my first question was, Sade, when you now a lot of, I don't know if a lot of people know this throughout your testimony, but you've experienced so many different belief systems and doctrines in the Christian sect. And after all the religious belief systems that you have tried on, how did you know, like, what moment, what evidence was it from grace when you received it that you know it was the one true belief system that you know that you were called to?
That's a really good question. And so I would say that I was at this point in my life, because I'd gone to ministry school 2011 to 2012, and it was Avenue Revivalist Ministry School. And I'm so thankful for my leaders and ministers there, you know, and the people who taught. And it's like an offshoot of Bethel Church. But to be honest, I only believe like 10% of what I learned from that school. And it was through me going there that I met my met two pastors who are still two of my mentors to this day. Shout out to Rick and Melissa Wood. And they were two of the leaders in the program, and they were teaching something different than what I was used to hearing, you know. And it's like, by this time I was just searching. I'm like, I need to find the God that I knew as a little girl. I have no peace. I'm just like spinning my wheels. I am burning out really fast, and I'm just getting little moments of relief when people pray for me, or they try to, I'm listening to messages, and like nothing is bringing me the true hope and deliverance and healing that I need. And so as I'm listening to, I'm in one of Rick and Melissa's classes, and they're talking about how you don't keep asking God for more, but that we have everything in Jesus, and to start, and that God can help us to start being aware of what we have, and how God's presence is always with us and God never leaves us. Like, and just talking about the finished work, like what it actually means that Jesus died for us on the cross and rose from the grave. And I just had never heard it preached like that. And they were also, they would also be posting like different Bible verses from this translation called the Mirror Translation. And so I went and researched this up. I was like, the Mirror Translation. And then I looked up and I saw that it was written by a theologian named Francois Dutoit. And so I started looking up some of his messages on YouTube. And I literally, just as I was listening to it, I was like, these are the things that God was telling me when I was younger. These are the things, you know, that I've been searching for. And so for me, I feel like the big difference was, like I said, it was totally different than what I was used to hearing. And also it's like there was an instant peace and there was so much more joy and rest, because everything else I was listening to, it's like, I like to say, it's almost like your head, like before you're walking in grace, your head will try to tell you that everything makes sense because you've done this, you've done that. Okay, so this is going to equal this, you know, but your heart is like, but this don't make no sense. I'm not at peace. This doesn't make sense to me. And you're like, no, but it has to be logical because I was told this, this, and this. But then it's like, as you're in grace, it's so funny because sometimes things from your mind at first, because, you know, our heart has and our mind have to join together, it can feel like, well, this doesn't make sense. How are you going to tell me that God's going to do this and this, but this doesn't line up here and you haven't done this? But your heart says, I know that I know that I know that God is this good and that God loves me this much and that God is my provider and God is the one who gives me life. And so that was the difference for me, is I noticed that there was something, like it was something that was happening different in my heart, and there was a peace that I was experiencing. And like I said, I recognized it from things that I always knew as a little girl, but no one was preaching it. And so I thought I was crazy.
Wow. So, That's so crazy. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So my next question is what do you feel like out of all the things that you get to do? Because you are all across the board. Like there's nothing you can do. You're like if Tyler Perry and Oprah could be mixed into like one person, like that's you. What would you say out of all the capacities and all the hats that you wear, which one is your favorite? Which one do you feel like you are the most passionate about or have the most joy from?
See, this is why you're one of my biggest cheerleaders ever. Always hyping me up. So,
oh, I got to.
Let me see. That's a really good question. So out of all the things, so it all depends on, I think, the day and what I am thinking about at that time, you know what I mean? And so it just depends, you know what I mean? Because sometimes I can be like, oh, I want to dance. And then I'm like, oh, but I want to sing, or I want to create a short film. So it just depends on that specific time, like what I'm feeling, you know, like what comes to me. Because sometimes I can have multiple ideas that I'm thinking about and I'm passionate about at once. And so I'll just start moving forward in one, and then the rest of them just follow along. So it's hard to choose. It's like asking a parent, which child is your favorite?
Yeah.
You're like, I love them all.
Yeah, definitely. Right. Wow. Okay. Wow. I can say out of all the things that God has been restoring and reconciling and healing and bringing into wholeness and fullness. I mean, I can just go on and on. Your life is just a constant testimony of what it looks like for God to be the God of everything over someone's life. It's like, this is what this looks like. And it's amazing. What would you say has been the biggest testimony for you of either healing or restoration or reconciliation in any area of your life? What do you feel like has been like the biggest testimony for you?
You got some good questions. You got me thinking.
I'm coming with it. Come on down.
Healing testimony. I think, well, I'll say as of recently, one of the really powerful things that God has been doing is God has just been really showing me and helping me to understand that nothing and no one in this world can add to my life or take away from my life. And that no matter what challenge or calamity or heartache or anything that I may experience, that God is always going to heal me and he's always going to lift me up. And so I never have to be terrified anymore of getting hurt or of what can happen to my life or of something being taken from me or any of those things. Like God is just really, that's something he was even ministering to me today during my workout and on my walk. And I just was like, it brought me to such tears because it was like, man, imagine how we could go about our days and live our lives not being scared of getting hurt or being scared or concerned of what can be taken from you or given to you in this world, but knowing that all that you are and all that you receive comes from God, you know, and that no matter what, he's going to heal you and he's going to lift you up and set you free, you know. And I was like, man, I was like, I don't even know, like, I'm still processing through it right now, you know, because I don't even know how to fully articulate it, but it's like that is one of the greatest joys to me, because you don't realize as God is healing you, obviously, you know, things start to rise to the surface, because, you know, I don't believe in like the whole self-help industry anymore or examining yourself and all those things. Like, I just don't believe in that. I believe as you're continuing to be in relationship with Jesus, he loves you into who you're supposed to be and who he's always created you to be. So he'll have things that will rise to the surface. And so I don't have to naturally every day be looking at myself and trying to find something that needs to be healed or that I need to work on or that I need to search out. And I know that's a popular scripture that people use the wrong way. You know, they misinterpret all the time. So that's why you have so many people that are constantly examining themselves. And that just brings us back into condemnation and into trying to save ourselves. But it's like, as you're living in your life with God, he, you know, naturally things are going to come up, and they come up as you're ready to process through them and heal through them. And so as God has been, you know, working with me through this, I'm just like, man, like, it's just, it's blowing my mind. You know, it's just, it continues to just increase my joy and increase my peace and my vision, and just being able to like fully live my life full out and receive and love full out without having to be thinking of what the outcome or the results can be, if that makes sense.
Wow. Just wow. So my next question is, who would you say has been the most influential to your spiritual growth and your spiritual development or where you are today?
That's definitely like a two people, I would say. That's definitely, I always say, my big bro, my pastor, one of my mentors, Greg Henry, is definitely, and then also one of my other pastors, Bertie Britt, because for me, like, and one of my mentors as well, for me, it's like I had never experienced seeing pastors like that and speakers who just are so bold in what they believe and what they teach, and they don't divert from the message no matter what is happening, no matter what's going on, no matter what they're experiencing, no matter what happens in this world. They continue to preach the same gospel. And even when they get criticism and people are like, well, why don't you talk about this? And you're not doing it this way. And, you know, and even Greg, it's about like people will send him certain messages of other people and be like, well, why don't you preach like this or do this? And they stick with what God has shown them. And I feel like through their messages, like I said before, I was doing so much searching in my life. I was searching all the time to be able to find the truth and to receive it. Like, we judge people a lot that, you know, jump from church to church, and we're just thinking they're just trying to pull from people, but we have no idea what's happening in their hearts and what God is doing in them. And for me, I just would get restless because I was like, this is not lining up with what I know in my spirit to be true. I can't explain it. I can't put my finger on it, but I just keep finding myself in the same place. You know, like maybe I got a little bit, but you know, I find the silver lining in everything. So maybe I got a little bit of something from each of these places, and I know they loved me and taught me with the best of what they could give. But honestly, and obviously, it was nothing compared to what I knew that God was wanting to show me. And so through having them in my life, it's literally changed everything, because I'm not searching anymore. They've been my pastors now for almost 4 years, and I'm not getting antsy. I'm not in the place anymore where I used to be, where I'm like, what's the next big thing? I have to have someone preach a word over me. I need to do, what's this next big move of God?
Yeah.
What's this thing? And I can literally just listen to the same message or receive a word or something that God has spoken over my heart, and I can literally chew on that for like weeks and months at a time, and it's like I get something new from it. And so for me, they have been definitely my biggest inspirations, my biggest influences, and I feel like I'm so thankful that they are my pastors and my mentors and leaders in my life, because they have led me into being more bold like I am now, and being more courageous and being confident in who God has created me to be. Because I think, you know, that's something that's very important to have. And we both know, even as believers, and you see even in churches, people still struggle so much with what people think of them, you know. And you see even like people build their churches and their buildings and their groups, and everything is built on based of other people's opinions and not God's good opinion of them. And so they have been my biggest spiritual influences, and that it's literally permeated to every area of my life.
Wow. What would you say? I know. It's just, I don't even want to go extended, because I'm just like, we could do this all day. So I'm like, try to stay focused. So, question is this. What project, I'll say it's kind of a double part question. What project are you the most connected to or the most proud of that you have already released? And what project are you the most excited to release?
What project am I most excited about that I've already released?
The most celebrated.
Okay, I would say my spoken word poetry album, probably. I would say that my In Between the Dream spoken word poetry album, which came out in January, because I remember, like, when I was working, before I even thought about coming out with that album, I was wanting to record music in the studio, and I had been really wanting to record my songs. I have all these songs on my heart, but there just was not any open doors. And so, and then the doors that were opening were just like, I knew that wasn't the best ones to walk through. And just with my budget and everything, and I remember Christina Renee, one of my best friends in the whole world, and she was telling me, she goes, she's like, I know you're disappointed, Sade. She goes, but I just feel like you need to start thinking about your spoken word poetry, and you have so many great poems, and your voice is so soothing and powerful, and you have so many wonderful stories. She goes, I want to encourage you to just think about releasing your poetry, and she goes, that could be something very inexpensive that you can even do on your own, and you just don't know what it could, how it could bless people and be a blessing to you, and what it could lead into. And obviously, like, I was listening to her, but I didn't want to hear that, because I was like, I want to release my songs. And she's like, just think about it, you know. And so, and she's not someone who pressures you, like, when she tells you things, she'll just be like, you know, just think about it, just, I'm feeling this on my spirit. And so God began to just lay it on my heart, and just, you know, soften my heart to be, you know, moving forward in that direction. And it just ended up being such an amazing project, because I'm like, to think that I 100% created, wrote, and executive produced that, and I own 100% of that, is just such a gift. Wow. And to know, like, I could share all the stories that I wanted to, and also to be able to support so many ministries and causes and nonprofits that I'm passionate about, I was like, man, this is so cool. And it was just a way for God to show me, like, there's so many ways that God can bring our dreams to pass, and for me to understand, like, to learn how to be flexible in that, you know. And so that's the thing I would say I'm the most proud about that I have released. And then the project that I'm most excited about that's coming out. I would say I'm definitely really excited about our show. Like, I'm really, really excited about our new show, Matters of the Heart, that's coming out, because I just feel like it's been a long time in the works, and you saw it even before I saw it. And it's just, I feel like there's not a lot, or even if I know of any type of shows that are out like this right now. And I feel like it's just going to be such a blessing to not only us, but to people that will tune in and listen to it and receive from it as well. And I just know that God is wanting to release more of this type of content in the earth, you know, and wanting to be able to show people what it's like to really experience God's love and God's kindness, and to see that in their friendships and their romantic relationships and their relationships with themselves, you know. And so I'm really excited about our new show that's coming out.
Wow. It's going to be, I tell you what, this show, when I tell you, is going to be so revolutionary. I ain't even going to get into an audience, but I can tell you this. I ain't seen nothing like this before. This ain't no 1 in 6 in Park. This is reconciling men and women back to the place where they should. You know what I'm saying? This ain't no AJ and Free. I just want to let them know. You know what I'm saying? Just setting the precedent. So I'm really excited for us to go on this new endeavor. So my last question to you is this. And all of the people that you have mentored and discipled is the key to discipleship.
So you say, what is the key?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what would I say is the key to discipleship? I would say that for me, it's important that I don't want people to be so impressed with me that they put me on a pedestal. For me, it's important that with anyone I'm mentoring or discipling or counseling, I want them to see that everything that they see in me is also a reflection of what God has placed within them and what they can experience in their life. You know, like, that for me is very important, because it means nothing to me that people can be so excited about who I am, but then they still feel less than, and they still feel incompetent, and they still feel like they have to, like, pray with me or be near me in order for God to do something for them. Then for me, I would feel like everything that I shared and everything that I did was in vain and it means nothing because that doesn't excite me.
Definitely.
You know, like I'm not excited about if, like, it is great,
yeah,
obviously, if people can compliment me and they support me and they love me and stuff, but I treat compliments and insults the same because we know in this world, people's opinions can change of you faster than the weather. And so I think most important is people being able to experience it. Like what they see in me, I want them to know that is also in them and to help them to not be dependent on me, but to be dependent on God.
That's so good.
Yeah.
You just go ahead and mic drop and just walk out. I'll go ahead and close it.
Well, you helped by asking me some amazing questions.
That's so good, man. That's all I got for you today. Otherwise, you know what I'm saying, we'll be sitting in this forever. But, man, Sade, I want to thank you for allowing me to be able to dive in and kind of reveal a little bit more about you to our audience. And, man, thank you for always giving us that heat that you always do, man. I appreciate it so much.
Oh, it has been such a joy to have you on this special episode of the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio. Thank you so much to Jeremy Watkins for joining me. And be sure to go to jeremyawatkins.com. Once again, that's jeremyawatkins.com to stay up to date with his happenings and for all his books, his social media, audio, and video content. He posts so many good videos, and I'm telling you, y'all can literally just watch them on repeat. And also remember to tune into Grindhard Radio starting June 12th on Fridays at 6 p.m. Pacific Time for our brand new show, Matters of the Heart. I'm Sade Champagne, and we appreciate your support.